And now we turn to the University of Vermont, which finds itself at a turning point. President Dan Fogel will step down next year after 10 years on the job. Fogel leaves a mixed legacy. He expanded enrollment, raised revenues, and led an aggressive building campaign on campus. But he also failed to resolve UVM's serious financial challenges. Even with steady increases in tuition, UVM faces a projected five-year budget shortfall of $120 million. Layoffs are possible, and there are no easy options for new revenue. This week, VPR's John Dillon takes a look at Vermont's flagship university at a crossroads.
So I'll start walking. I will be walking backwards almost the entire time we're on the tour.
A campus tour is part information session, part sales job. And Evan Crockett is effective at marketing the University of Vermont's virtues.
A little bit of history about the
For more than an hour, the UVM senior leads a group of prospective students and parents in and out of a handful of buildings across the sprawling campus. The group peeks into a state-of-the-art biology lab.
Every single one of these labs comes equipped with a full set of 24-inch iMacs, which are less than a year old. So the technology in here is pretty much unparalleled.
Crockett's backwards walking tour goes by renovations to the Aiken Center, the new home for the Rubenstein School of Environment and Natural Resources.
All right, going from one environmentally friendly building to the next, we will go into our student center. It is the only LEED Gold certified student center in America.
The would-be students and their parents enter the Davis Center, a four-story brick edifice that anchors the campus on Burlington's Main Street. Crockett shows off one of the newest places to eat, a sushi bar.
The university wanted authentic Japanese sushi, so not only did we get all of, like, the Japanese rice makers and stuff like that, we actually went to Japan and hired three sushi chefs and brought them to the United States.
Crockett may be offering up some over-the-top marketing hyperbole, but his message goes to the heart of what UVM strives to be.
You have this university, which has about 13,000 students in total, but it doesn't feel that big. It feels like a small liberal arts college, which is what we really started with. So you get that really intimate contact with your professors and with your peers and stuff that you don't really get at really large universities, but you still get all the research opportunities.
And that's UVM's big selling point. In the competitive marketplace for quality students, UVM highlights its manageable size, its research focus, and its academic excellence. Under President Dan Fogel, the school established an honors college. Selected students participate in undergraduate research and work closely with professors. Judy Contempassis is a senior in the biology department who's working on a summer research project.
So I'm going to be sending a couple of samples through the centrifuge.
She says the honors program brings together academically driven students who live together in their own dorm.
And so it fosters this sense of, in some ways, an intellectual community, which is really cool because you're reading the same things as the kids on your hall. So you get to, you know, impromptu discussions pop up in the hallway sometimes about Foucault or Sartre, and it's really cool.
But there are growing signs that the very things that make UVM unique, its size, the ability to form close rapport with student and professor, are under increasing strain. President Dan Fogel expanded the student body by 41% over 10 years. Additional students brought in more money, but the growth has also led to larger classes and overcrowding in the dorms. The most visible sign of Fogel's legacy are the new buildings, including the Davis Student Center, that have sprouted on campus.
I think he's had a very strong legacy, but also a strongly flawed legacy. I think if you strip it all away, with Dan Fogel, it's always a question of size and scale.
English professor Philip Baruth has taught at UVM since 1993.
So the things that he did when he got here were big things, and they were exciting things, and he brought the campus along with him. So he increased the size and the quality of the student body. He built a student center, a really nice student center. He also created an honors college right out of nothing in a period of a couple of years.
But Bruce says Fogel's innovations were sometimes out of scale with what UVM or Vermont could afford. Consider the student center.
It's Egyptian in scale, and it created its own controversy where people thought it was wasteful, didn't fit in with the campus, didn't fit in maybe with Vermont values in terms of, again, size and scale.
Under Fogel, tuition has also increased steadily. The latest hike was 5.8%. That makes UVM one of the highest-priced public universities in the country for in-state students.
I kind of feel like us, you know, lower-middle-class Vermonters have been left in the dust. I don't feel like it's accessible to us at all.
Samantha Wolf is from Verscher in rural Orange County. She's going to be a senior at Lyndon State College, where she's majoring in sustainability studies and managing the school's greenhouse. But when she graduated from high school in 2008, Wolf had her sights set on UVM.
It was my first choice. I loved the area. I thought, coming out of rural Vermont, I thought, okay, well, Burlington will have a lot more things to explore. And their programs, of course. Their programs were really astounding.
But facing a total cost of about $20,000 a year, Wolf says her lower middle class family could not afford a UVM education.
When I realized that I was not able to attend because of my financial situation, I was excluded from UVM because I didn't have enough money. I felt insulted. I felt crushed. I felt like I wasn't good enough because I couldn't foot the bill.
President Fogel says UVM's high in-state tuition is balanced with relatively generous financial aid programs. He says over 80% of Vermont students have some level of financial aid, totaling an average per student of roughly $10,000.
You know, while the sticker price remains high, the net cost to Vermont students after financial aid is very moderate here, lower than at any other institution in Vermont, public or private.
But that wasn't the case with Samantha Wolf. She faced the prospect of taking on significant loans because UVM didn't offer much in financial aid.
It was not very much. It was like maybe $500 a semester. Definitely not enough to put much of a dent in their tuition.
Fogel is a lifelong academic who plans to return to teaching in the English department when he steps down next year. But he's also a veteran of campus leadership and campus politics. Fogel speaks in slow, professorial tones, and he says that for him, the most significant part of his tenure is not what everyone sees, the building boom on campus.
While those things are notable, that what is most important is raising the profile of the university academically, raising its academic caliber, making it a destination point for a more highly qualified and more diverse student body, making it a more attractive place for excellent faculty to spend their careers.
That academic caliber is what first drew Evan Crockett here.
If you're on campus at noontime, you'll hear the carillon play.
The UVM senior and campus tour guide says he was impressed by professors who really seem to care about their students, and the school has not disappointed.
I think we've gone from being just a state school to being a really prestigious university where we're bringing in top faculty from other places and we're doing really groundbreaking research.
Crockett acknowledges that there's a price for the recent improvements, especially rising tuition bills.
With improving and transforming a university, there's cost. And unfortunately, I think some people aren't able to come to school here now because of cost.
UVM's rapid growth under President Fogel was also followed by a period of financial retrenchment leading to layoffs. For Crockett, the trade-offs from expansion of the campus and the student body have been worth it.
We are a research university with the heart of a small liberal arts college, and that hasn't changed, even through budget cuts.
Today, UVM's search for a new leader also includes a search for a new strategy as well, one that addresses increasing concerns about sustaining its dramatic growth while preserving what may be its best selling point, its size and academic accessibility for students.
Thank you very much for visiting.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For VPR News, I'm John Dillon. On a chilly February day in 2009, students protested UVM's plan to lay off 16 workers. The job cuts were a response to a budget shortfall, but the students and some of their professors charged the crisis was more a case of misplaced priorities. They wanted President Fogel's team to cut senior administrative salaries, not adjunct professors or maintenance workers. The crowd was surprised when they spotted Fogel walk down a nearby stairwell.
Hey, that's Fogel!
The UVM president did not come out and talk to the demonstrators. 2 years later, Fogel says he regrets that.
One thing I wish, looking back, that I had done in 2008, 2009 was be more publicly appreciative of the passion and commitment of people who were protesting what was going on. And I wish I'd said that more at the time, but I'm saying it now.
Catherine Knopper was one of those students whose passion for UVM led to protests. These days, Knopper works in downtown Burlington for a law firm, and she looks back at her time at UVM with some sadness.
Somehow, no matter the amount of us who were there and saying we want UVM to stay this way, we want to preserve what makes UVM special, it was taken away.
Knopper says that with faculty cuts and a larger student enrollment, she saw some of her classes get bigger over time, a complaint that continues to be heard on campus today.
I didn't have a big class until second semester sophomore year.
Amanda Fox just graduated from UVM. She's on campus this summer helping out with student orientation.
My professors knew who I was, and then all of a sudden I was like one of like 100 students and not getting that attention.
So at that instant, velocity of the mass is zero.
Class size can be an important factor in a student's overall academic experience. Smaller classes make it easier for students to forge a personal bond with their professors, a connection that can help launch their careers.
Acceleration never can be zero, right?
Evan Crockett is a senior at UVM who's taking a summer course in physics. He says professors are still available to students, even if some classes are larger.
But if you seek them out, they're available in their office. They're available during extra help sessions. And ultimately, the reason that they teach is because they love students and they want to pass their knowledge on.
Statistics show that over the last 3 years, there aren't quite as many classes offered with fewer than 40 students. In that same time, the number of courses with more than 40 students has increased. But relative to all the courses offered, the shift is small, within a percent or less, of a change in either direction. Still, UVM sells itself as a small but high-quality research institution where students work closely with their teachers. Frank Bryan, a longtime political science professor, says that reputation may be at risk.
Whenever you have growth like that and economic problems, especially for Vermont, you know, you pay the price, and we paid the price on class size. But I think the great challenge is to maintain the university we advertise, which is a human-scale university with small classes and interaction with professors. When you send a lot of kids into classes of 80, 90, 100, 200 students in large lecture halls.
My laboratory is a microcosm of what's going on at UVM.
Dr. Jim Vigoro is professor and chairman of the biology department, where the number of students doing research has more than doubled over the past 5 years. Vigoro says the increase has taken a toll on the faculty who oversee all those students. But he says the extra work benefits students and professors alike.
So, yes, it's been an increase in workload for all of us, but I know I speak for a lot of my colleagues in saying that this is something we strongly believe in, and it's a chore that we're very happy to do.
President Dan Fogel says the school expanded enrollment without sacrificing the classroom experience. He says UVM's student-teacher ratio places it among the top 10% of public universities for class size.
Being in the top 10%, given the constraints that we face in a sparsely populated state with relatively low public support, seems to me to be very good.
Among public universities, UVM's academic rankings have fallen from their heights in the late 1990s, according to the authoritative U.S. News and World Report. UVM has not regained that stature, but the rankings did rise under Fogel, although last year, UVM fell slightly to 41st among public institutions. And there is another statistic that Fogel does not mention. The number of non-teaching administrators and vice presidents has grown under his leadership. And the growth in UVM bureaucracy became a sore point during the recent budget debates.
In 2001, just before President Fogel arrived, there were three top administrators whose base salaries cost just above $500,000 a year. And today, not including the medical school, there are 49 current and top administrators whose salaries cost just above $8 million.
Nancy Welsh is an English professor who has delved deep into UVM budget documents. At the height of the budget debate 2 years ago, a UVM whistleblower told Welch that some of those administrators had been rewarded with five-figure bonuses.
I think we're not spending the money in the right way. Just between 2005 and 2010, the share of the operating budget going to academics fell from just above 50% to quite a bit below 50%. That's where the crisis is.
Garrison Nelson has taught political science at UVM for 43 years. He admires Fogel's scholarship and his efforts to raise the academic bar at UVM. But Nelson says the executive bonuses sent the wrong message at a time when the budget cutbacks fell largely on lower-level staff and part-time professors.
These were secretive and these were lucrative, and when they were discovered, it was explained, well, this is how you do business. Well, we're not a business. We're presumably a public university.
Nelson says the positive achievements of Fogel's first 7 years on the job were overshadowed by the president's response to the budget difficulties.
The problem is the more you surround yourself with the people whose jobs and salaries that are dependent upon your goodwill, the less likely it is you're going to get any honest opinions. And that's what I think has really undermined his legacy in the last 2 years.
Fogel disputes Nelson's analysis. And he cites a statistical study that shows UVM does not have too many administrators for a school of its size. The president says some of the administrators were hired to deal with the complex documentation required for the school's increasing amount of federal grants.
I think there is a significant gap between the perception and what is in fact the case.
While the overall image of UVM has risen under Fogel's tenure, the perception on campus is that Fogel's leadership eroded over the last few years. English professor Philip Baruth says Fogel was viewed in very positive terms, but that many of his initiatives had their downsides.
Having to do with the size and in some ways the lavishness of them. And that accumulated to the point where when we were facing really bad budget cuts 3 years ago, you could almost feel Fogel's, you know, mojo on campus slip away.
Now, Fogel is devoting his considerable energies to solving a budget problem that has not gone away. In his message to trustees this spring, Fogel told the board that unless things change, the school faces a $120 million budget shortfall in 5 years. For VPR News, I'm John Dillon.
Oh, hi. Are you here for Tom Gustafson?
It's a quiet summer morning on campus, and the new leaders of the Student Government Association arrive at the Waterman Building for a meet and greet with Tom Gustafson, the UVM Vice President for Campus Life.
Have a seat, guys.
Thanks.
The meeting is the administration's latest effort to build bridges with student leaders.
It's important that we, you know, you guys, me, Dan Fogel, whatever, have a chance to sort of anticipate big issues as they start to form.
One big issue the school faces is a continuing budget shortfall in the years ahead.
So I'll call the meeting to order and ask for an approval of the May 19th, 2011 meeting minutes.
The tough choices for UVM's next president were crystallized at a recent meeting of the Presidential Search Committee. Outgoing President Dan Fogel told the committee that it needs to find a development president, someone with a passion for raising money.
We are looking at significant gaps in the budget. 5 years out, we need to close a gap of $28 million per year.
Vice President Gustafson outlines for the committee the challenges ahead. He says the next UVM leader will have to build on Fogel's success in raising revenue. Fundraising has increased, and research grants jumped from $74 million in 2000 to $146 million last year.
A lot of really great things happened, but I think they were also fueled, I'll just say, by some relatively low-hanging fruit, which was growing enrollment. So now it gets hard. Now it gets harder.
Under Fogel, UVM grew by attracting more students and charging them more money. Since 2002, in-state tuition and fees have risen by about 60%. John Isaacson runs the search firm that's looking for a new president. He describes Fogel's success in dramatic terms.
You genuinely had to move 10 years ago. The place was a little tattered and shabby and had lost its sense of aspiration. And what Dan did was he magically unlocked a big bundle of money.
But in an interview, Fogel says that big bundle of cash has pretty much dried up.
We need to rethink the business model of the university. We need to become less reliant on both enrollment growth and tuition increases. We need to learn to do more with less while delivering increasingly superior outcomes.
What does that mean? UVM wants to rely more heavily on researchers who attract dollars to campus to help pay for their work. The school has established three units within the university designed to foster research across academic areas. The idea is that faculty in different disciplines will collaborate on projects and improve the quality of undergraduate education. Jim Vigoro chairs the biology department. He says research growth can lead to more financial and academic opportunities.
The more funding you have, the more students you have, so it's sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Other larger, more powerful universities have launched similar efforts, and some have even chosen the same label as UVM's initiative, Spires of Excellence. So UVM faces tough competition as it tries to build those spires.
Good luck to you. I wouldn't want to compete with Iowa or Kansas or any of those truly good universities in the heartland.
Gay Tookman is a University of Connecticut sociologist who has studied how universities are reshaping themselves. She likes the idea of interdisciplinary research, as she says that's often where scientific breakthroughs happen. But she questions UVM's chances for success in the competitive market for scarce federal research dollars.
In general, the public monies are being cut back nationally, and there are only so many universities that can fit on the top of a ladder.
UVM faculty initially voted against the Spires of Excellence proposal. Cameron Wesson chaired the anthropology department at UVM. He spoke by phone from Alabama, where he's leading an archaeological dig this summer. Wesson says the Spires concept itself needs more support at UVM.
These transdisciplinary research areas, they're not funding them. There are no new resources that are being brought to bear to make those things actually bear fruit.
Wesson recently decided to leave Vermont for an endowed teaching post at Lehigh University. The decision to pull up stakes was tough. Wesson and his family love Vermont, but in the end, he says he was concerned about what he thinks is UVM's uncertain future. Wesson says he's not the only tenured faculty to leave.
I think it's a really troubling sign when five or six tenured faculty, senior faculty, are all leaving at roughly the same time. And I think it speaks to, at least on some level, a lack of clear institutional vision for where we head next.
If UVM is successful with its new research focus, part of that success will be built on one of its traditional disciplines, here at the school's old dairy barn. There are fewer cows in the barn these days. UVM sold its research herd last year, and some saw that sale as a sign that the school had abandoned its agricultural heritage. Not so, says Tom Fogelman, Dean of the College of Agriculture and Life Sciences.
So we've developed architectural plans for new teaching labs and new teaching facilities out here with the idea that this really needs to become, you know, not only a center for agriculture, but a center for food system studies.
One of the three transdisciplinary Spires of Excellence focuses on food systems. And Fogelman says the school will help Vermont become a leader in regional agriculture. As examples, Fogelman cites microbiology research that could lead to more energy-efficient methane digesters for smaller-scale farms. He envisions new greenhouses that will extend the Vermont vegetable growing season to 9 months. And he says researchers will focus on new cash crops that could be grown locally.
There's something here for, I think, every single unit in the university. I'm sort of hard-pressed to think of one that could really not fit.
UVM is a land-grant university, which means that part of its public mission is to focus on agriculture, science, and engineering. But the school receives the lowest level of state appropriations per capita of any public university in the country. President Fogel doubts that will change, given the budget pressures facing the state. He points out that Vermont is among the highest in the country for spending on K-12 education, but it has among the lowest levels of spending for higher education and early childhood education. Fogel wants Vermonters to consider whether that skewed distribution of resources makes sense.
I think that's a reasonable question to ask, and I would probably encourage my successor to engage in very sensitive and diplomatic ways in that dialogue.
For incoming students at orientation day, UVM's money worries are the last thing on their minds. James Poshbashol is from Newton, Massachusetts. An avid snowboarder, he chose UVM over competing schools in part because of its off-campus offerings, especially the nearby mountains.
I don't think you can have a better location for a college than Burlington, personally, for me.
He's not worried about larger classes or being crowded into a three-person dorm room.
Even a forced triple, I think I'd still be happy. I can't wait, so can't wait. Can't wait to go snowboarding. I'm ready.
And Pospisil is the kind of student UVM needs to attract. His higher out-of-state tuition means the university can charge Vermonters less. The next president faces the formidable challenge of keeping UVM attractive to out-of-staters, fulfilling its historic mission of serving Vermonters, and building a research institution for the 21st century. For VPR News, I'm John Dillon.